Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I've been a believer for 41 years. And when I first became a believer, I was a crusty sailor who had just come back from Vietnam in the U.S. Navy. I was crusty. You would not have recognized me. I had an afro, a beard, a knife on my side. Mean looking. And I went to a prayer meeting. Brand new believer. So in love with the Lord. Such an object of mercy and grace, because I should have been dead. And I was in a circle. And this guy on this side and this guy on this side grabbed my hand. That was a little uncomfortable. It would not have happened. I went, oh, okay. And they started praying in a circle. And I want to tell you what I heard. It's not what they said, but I want to tell you what I heard. They're going in a circle. And the guy here starts out, O Lordeth Goddeth, believeth thee and youeth Goddeth, thanketh thee for what thou hast doneth for us, in Jesus' nameth, ameneth. Now, that's not what he prayed, but that's what I heard. The next gal, O kind, benevolent, wonderful, majestic Father, Holy One of Israel, you are omnipotent and omnipresent. And I didn't know what omni was. I thought it was a dodge. And then it's my turn. And they're holding my hand and I'm shaking. I mean, I'm a week old in the Lord. Hi, God. This is me. It's Jim. You remember? I met you in San Diego. I was standing in the gutter, and I had you put me in my heart. And amen. I felt like such a failure. Oh, since that time, I've learned how to say, O kind, benevolent, wonderful Father, thou art this. I can do it in Hebrew. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Oh. But there was a freshness about that prayer. Hi, God. You remember me? You changed my life. Thanks. See, Proverbs 15:8 says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. Isn't that good? In other words, prayer is not just about asking, it's about delighting God. And any parent knows, isn't it wonderful when your children talk to you and mean it? And then I began reading the great books of prayer from Luther and E.M. Bounds and all these other guys, and Billy Graham's books and some others. And you know what? Every one of them said their prayer life stinks. If their prayer lives stink, Martin Luther said it this way, I have so much to do today, I'm going to spend the first 4 hours praying. How do you feel when you read books like that? So suddenly I'm feeling more and more guilty. Yet Philippians 4 talks about prayer as a delight. Proverbs 15, prayer is a delight. How's the delight when you don't want to get up at 4 a.m.? Pray for 3 hours before you get off to school or work. So all I saw was the prayer life of the guilty. And I came out of a religious system that was so guilt-based. Works, works, more works. He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. So suddenly now I'm trusted in Christ alone for my salvation. I fully acknowledge that, but I don't get prayer. I don't understand it. Because it just can't be, our Father, heart, and heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Do it in English, do it in Latin, do it in Hebrew, do it in Greek. Say, in Jesus' name, amen, and it sends it off to heaven. It's got to be more than that, don't you think? It's got to be more than scratching your eyebrows when you're eating a McDonald's hamburger saying, bless this food to my body. We really should be saying, heal me before I eat it, but that's a whole other story. And the guilt. And then I began to read Matthew chapter 6. And by the way, Jesus recognized that. He talked about two groups of people that did the same thing that I learned. Remember the Pharisees? You got to pray enough. You got to pray the right way. You got to pray for the right things. You got to pray enough. So you got to pray at 9, noon, and 3. You got to pray the right way. So you got to wear the prayer shawl and the zitzit. Remember the tassels with the 538 tassels and the four corner tassels so that when you walked, your prayers would go to the four corners of the world and up to heaven. And you'd take that prayer shawl and put it up and you'd form your hands in the Hebrew letter Sheen and say, Shamar Ishael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Kad Baruch Hashem Adonai. Got to do it the right way. You got to do it the right time, 9, noon, and 3. And you got to pray for the right things. You know, prayer for everything. You got prayer for donkeys, you got a prayer for cats, you got a prayer for this, you got a prayer for that. You got to go to your book of prayers because there's always some prayer for something. So Jesus understood it because he lived in a day where they were. And then you had the people that were showing off. Remember, they were sounding their trumpets, right? Standing in the corner, da da da, and praying, look at me. And thinking that they had to say their many words, you know? In that case, he was talking about the Greeks that would recite the names. You know, Diana, 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 and hoping that if you said the name a lot, then they invoke the power of the goddess Diana. Well, I saw the same thing in the body of Christ. We always use the same words. You know, lead, guide, and bless. What does that mean? You know, bless the missionaries. Oh, okay. You know, lead us, guide us, bless us. Well, the words that we speak Christianese, don't we? And then we always say in Jesus' name, amen. We don't know what that means. I think it's a divine send at the end. You know, you're typing a little email to God with your words and then you're putting Jesus' name, amen. And that way the guy next to you knows you're done. How else are you going to know you're done with prayer? And then by the way, and while you're praying, you got to throw in some God words, you know? You know, when I was an old sailor, every time I talked, I threw in a swear word. Well, now I started to hear the same thing in prayer meetings. God, Jesus, Father, Lord, Father, Jesus, Spirit, thank you, Lord, God. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. Some people just throw God words. They don't even mean the words. It's just they're seasoning their prayers with God words. Am I right or wrong? And we think that's prayer. And we're no different than the Pharisees and the Gentiles. And Jesus says, don't be like them. Remember that? What does he mean by that? He means don't be like them. And guess what? We are like them. And we don't wear prayer shawls. But have you ever been in a church where you said, let's have him pray, and somebody said, no, he's not a good prayer. Let's have the professional prayers up there. You know, the ones that can say, oh, leadeth, guideth, and blesseth us. In Jesus' nameth, ameneth. You know, they... Am I right here? Do you go to the same church I do? I've been to your churches. I've been to a lot of countries and do a lot of the same things. And yet, here's what my Savior said. And it goes right to that. And when you pray, you, don't be as them, the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, do what? Go into your inner room. And when you shut your door, watch this, pray to your Father. Talk to your Father. 13 times in this text, your Father, who sees in secret and will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. He's not saying, now memorize this prayer. He just said, don't do that. But I have no problem memorizing the prayer if you understand that. But then he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And of course, we have a textual issue here, but I believe it's there. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen. What does that mean? The word amen, it means that's the song of my heart. It has its roots often in a musical notation in the Old Testament. Remember it says in 2 Chronicles, our 1 Chronicles says in chapter 5 that Asaph's singers worshipped and said amen. It's not just that's the end of the prayer. You know, it's not the period at the end of a prayer. It's that's the song of my heart. That resonates with my soul. And so what I saw as I looked at this, as I realized that Jesus was speaking to Hebrew and Aramaic speaking people in an Oriental context, and I'm not speaking to Hebrew speaking people in an Oriental context, I speak mostly to Western audiences. Now when I go to Asia, to China, and so forth, I oftentimes will take the Lord's Prayer as it is because they get it, but we don't. So I'm going to Westernize this prayer, you ready? And turn it into an acrostic, because that's what Jesus is doing. It's called a parallelism of thought. It's done in the book of Proverbs all over. And what's called synonymous distichs and the way Hebrew parallelism is. And that's what he's doing here. It's a Hebraic prayer. Spoken to Hebraic and Aramaic context, right? So let me westernize it. Praising, repenting, asking, yielding, and treating and rejoicing. You say, well, where do you have praising in there? Where? Right out the chute, right? Do it with me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are God, you are Father, and you're holy. That's a pretty good start, isn't it? And by the way, if you recite the attributes of God, just tell me something about God that you love right now. You love His love. You just prayed. And you didn't close your eyes. You didn't bow your head. And you didn't fold your hands. And you didn't say in Jesus' name, amen. You just prayed. Tell me something you love about God. Right back here. Yeah. He's never changing. He's immutable. You just prayed. We don't know. You can drive down the street saying, Father, thank you for green. Or sing, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. See, you just prayed. One of the things that we do with our foster children is what we call alphabetical worship. Tell me something you love about God that begins with the letter A, B, C, D. It's always fun. I was doing a communion service for a group of 600 high school kids, and I had them do this before communion. We got to the letter X. X is always fun. Thank you, God, for xylophones. But one young woman in the back stood up and said, thank you, God, for your X-ray vision in my life. Isn't that good? And her boyfriend, a football player, big old guy, said, thank you, God, that you're excellent. yeah, he was from Prague, I think. I'm not sure. Probably. But his heart was right. Isn't that great? See, prayer isn't about being so theologically accurate. I'm not suggesting you can speak heresy, but I'm suggesting you can be fresh. One of my foster boys that had been beat up by an uncle, we got him from the hospital, 5 years old, at my table, gets to the letter B, and he says, thank you, God, for baseballs. And heaven rang with the praise of a little boy. And I wept. Thank you, God, for baseballs. Do you think God was pleased? And there wasn't one theological word in that. And no, in Jesus' name, amen at the end. Praising, God, thank you for. Secondly, repenting. Where do you have that in the Lord's Prayer? He says, what? Forgive us. Us. I want you to think of something right now in your life that you know displeases the God who loves you, who'll never forsake you, but nonetheless is disappointed in that action or thought. And say, Lord, will you forgive me? And hear him say yes. The Bible says, if you confess your sin, kamalagao, if you agree with God that it's sin, God is faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So right now, if you're thinking of that thing and saying, God, I give it to you, I ask your forgiveness, you just prayed. So when you have a spirit of repentance, you're praying without ceasing. Isn't that good? The next one is asking. Where do you have that in the Lord's Prayer? How about give us this day? Give us this day our daily bread. God, I bring before you my needs. I had a gentleman in my church say to me one time, he said, Pastor, I never pray for myself. As if I was going to go, oh, you're so humble. You know what I said to him? I said, my friend, you're in sin. Yes, you're supposed to pray for others. I'll get to that. But the Bible says to pray for yourself. He says, show me. I said, fine. John 14, verse 7 to 14. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And the Greek word is aiteo. You who are Greek students know aiteo means to ask for yourself. Ask for yourself. God wants you to bring your needs. I have a real frustration when people come to me as a pastor, ask me to pray for them, and oftentimes I'll say to them, well, do you pray for you? You know, I'm not a divine dump station. You know, I'm not a toilet. Oh, pastor, here, dump. You pray for me. You take my burdens. I don't want to deal with it. You do it. Really? You're not going to... Do you pray for you? You ask other people to pray for you. So many times, missionaries and ministers will ask thousands of people to pray for them and don't pray for themselves. Am I right? Are you praying for you? Give us this day our daily bread involves you. You're part of the us. Next is yielding. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yieldedness. 1 John 5 says what? Ask according to his will. Now here's how this works. People say, well, you know, God answers prayer. Yes, no, or wait. Really? No. If it's true prayer, God answers yes. Now, look at my big brown eyes for a second. I'm not suggesting everything you ask, you'll get. I'm saying if you pray, God, give me a blue Mercedes, he will answer. If you want my will, you can have my will concerning transportation. Here's a yellow bicycle. Do you ask him, Lord, give me a blue Mercedes if it be your will? He said, yes, you can have my will. Here's a yellow bicycle. See, he doesn't answer it according to our will, but his, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, yeah, go ahead and call it no from our perspective, but it's yes from his, because 1 John 5 says that it's not prayer unless it's asked according to his will. Does that make sense? The next one is entreating. That means praying for others. Right? God, I bring before you the needs of others. I want you to think right now of somebody in your life that you have a hard time praying for. Somebody you have a hard time praying for. Somebody you don't like. You know, every time I teach this, God brings up a different person. I go, oh, yeah. I really like praying for that person. I will. They're just people in that space. Isn't that true? You know, ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. And you pray for them. Entreating. And then the last one is rejoicing. Where do we have rejoicing in the Lord's Prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What is rejoicing? It means, God, I thank you. You're in charge. You're on the throne. Isn't that a heavenly perspective? God, you're on your throne. Yours is the power. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. I guess I can trust my life in your hands. That's what Jesus was teaching. That's the Lord's Prayer from a Western perspective, in my opinion. Now watch. The Bible says pray without ceasing. It doesn't say pray without ceasing, by the way. Let's be sure you get that down. Pray without ceasing. That means I can drive down the street saying, God, I just praise you today. Thanks. Thanks for that. Thanks for this. Let's pray. Right? And I repent. Lord, just forgive me. You know, my attitude stinks. And God, Lord, I ask you today for the wisdom I need beyond my experience. And if it be your will, this and this and this. And then I also pray for others. And I just thank you, God, that you're in charge. And that can be 5 hours long. 30 seconds. And it's not a formula. Because if you turn this into a formula, I just violated how I began. It's an attitude. It's an action. It's a heavenly perspective, I believe. Proverbs 15:8 again, the prayer of the upright is his delight. I am absolutely amazed that God not only loves to talk to me in his word, but would pay attention when I talk to him. Why don't you bow your heads for just a minute, would you please? I want you to just be quiet before the Lord. Let's take this from being a workshop and take it as a time of worship. And I know you're tired and you've had a lot of input. Now just refresh. Take a few seconds and just talk to your Father. Amen.